Greetings, friends and nephews, and welcome to the GrogPod Roguelike Podcast, where each episode we randomly slap together some words, unlock some insights, hunt for some underrated gems, and circle back through the boudoir at the end of the year to revisit our best games of the season. I am your disembodied dead uncle host of the podcast, Scott Berger, and with me are my increasingly puzzled co-hosts.
Yeah, this is Will, if the black box is true.
And this is Colin, the disgruntled chauffeur.
Yeah, well, I'm Andrew Harshman, the blue box host. The display is only true statements.
This episode, we are talking Blueprints, P-R-I-N-C-E, not the other one. This is a pretty fresh release here. Blueprints releasing relatively recently, April 10th, 2025, a fresh 54 days ago. This is a game that you can find on Steam, PS5, and Xbox. And this was the debut game by game dev shop Dogu Bomb, founded by an indie film director Tonda Ross, who I think is also like maybe done music video direction or something, and published by Raw Fury Games, who have done a number of games that are for sure stay tunes and a half, including previous episode Fights in Tight Spaces. But stay tuned for a potential Bad North RTS game, Dome Keeper. We got Atomic Crops, we got Kingdom Two Crowns, and Ballionaire. Other rogue games of note that they have published. Your average player of Blueprints has about a whopping 42 hours of gameplay in it, and there's a lot to unpack here, as we'll get to it. But Blueprints rolls in on our Steam data set as the 146th most popular rogue game on Steam with 8,112 total reviews. But first, Colin, you have received a package delivery from yesterday. Why? It's a one-sentence description of what one does in Blueprints. What's inside that package there?
Well, the package inside the package is, of course, the will of your dead uncle, who has bequeathed upon you a mysterious roguelike house which randomly rebuilds itself day by day as you search for the puzzles of the house. And eventually get to the mysterious room 46 at the end of the house, or not if you're me.
So we were just hypothesizing how we want to do this episode here before smashing that record button, because there's a lot to talk about, there's a lot to spoil here, and Colin had the brilliant idea of what if we just opened up the first room here and just hit a dead end, and we just hit the rankings right immediately to kick out the door here. So I think like what this episode will do slightly differently, not like end with or start with end rankings per se, but like maybe we'll just kind of like go around the horn of like
rankings.
Yeah,
first.
Vibe rankings to give kind of like a spoiler free indication of what we thought. And then this I guess will be your spoiler alert warning that I'll tag in the show note timestamps, but from there on, the floodgates will be bursting open, and it will be spoiler mania zone. So
we're pumping them out of the house.
spoiler. Maybe I'll kick us off here. I liked this game a lot. I thought this game was very innovative. It was certainly like hyped up a lot from like board game friends over the past couple weekends. Like, hey, have you heard of this game Blueprints? I'm like, well, don't just you wait, gentle listener. I think for the most part it held up pretty well. I think there's some parts that maybe don't hold up so well, which maybe we'll dive into in detail, but I think generally if you are a fan of puzzle games and a fan of like rogue games in general, I think there's a lot to like here with that synergy between the two. There's some rough edges that I think we can expand upon here in a minute in spoiler territory. But I think, yeah, if you are a board game geek, If you are a fan of the board game Castles of Mad King Ludwig and you wanted it in video game form, by all means, yeah, drop 30 coins on blueprints here.
I'll go next. I, like Scott, also heard a lot about it from my board game friends. So maybe we're sensing a theme a little bit. I thought this was a pretty good game. I think I want people to play it more than I actually liked it. So like, if that makes sense, like I think it is a great game. I think many people should play it. I don't know if it's necessarily the best game, but I think it does a lot of things that are novel and interesting. And even if you don't like it a whole bunch, I think it's still an interesting gaming experience, which there are a lot of games out there that you're like, oh yeah, this is pretty good, but nothing new. This is the opposite of that, where it's like, I have not played a game like this before, and that in itself is interesting, and I want there to be more games like that. So I think that you should go play it and then come back and listen to the rest of the episode if you haven't played it.
There you go. I too am awarding this game a pretty high ranking, pretty high rating, but I think for possibly different reasons than my co-hosts here, ultimately the biggest single factor that contributed to high score for me is not my personal enjoyment of the game per se, but my respect and just overall how impressed I am by how well this game wields roguelike mechanics in a interesting, impactful, and innovative way.
I guess that makes it me. Loved it. This game, it did something I've never seen before. It's got a lot of interesting new mechanics, and I think the thing I enjoy most about it, as someone who enjoys like no pressure, turn-based sort of things, is you can just sit there and be like, how do I approach this? And I love that. But the one thing that the really novel thing is that you take notes. Like you have to, like in real life, you have a notepad out. We're all just sharing in our Discord channel here. Like we all have insane looking notes about all the crazy puzzles and trying to solve it. And it's just such a fascinating mystery to try and pull it all together. And yeah, I love this game. I really recommend that you play it.
One addendum, I think, to this before we get too deep, I think this is a great maybe not multiplayer game per se, but like a multi-brain game. Like if you're playing on like a PlayStation or Xbox, or like you're streaming to your living room, and you have like another person there who can just
Oh,
be like,
yeah.
no, I don't think that's a match. I think that has to do with fire or something. You're like, that's an interesting perspective.
Right. I just
Or
need to let me brainstorm just literal words with you. Like,
100%,
this is
100%.
I know this is a word letter based puzzle. I need to like spitball just things that start with the letter F.
Like sitting on the couch playing, I could see this being a good Switch game, which I'm actually kind of surprised it's not for the Switch yet, maybe. But like sitting on the couch, like next to somebody, just being, what do you think of this? And then just like turning it to them. Primo Steam Deck game for that, at the very least. But yeah, like busting it out at like a party and just being like, all right, okay, Colin, it's your turn into the blueprints maze. Let's all grab the popcorn and watch and see how far he gets this time.
Or even like the exact opposite, like you're on a bus, you're like commuting on a bus or something. Like I think it would be good for that too.
You're just asking the bus driver, "Hey, bus driver, what's I need a 44 letter phrase for."
I was less
Hey,
thinking
bus
about the
driver,
social
do not don't
aspect.
make me tap the sign again. No blueprints questions. It's I think this is probably a pretty good couples game. In fact, I just recommended this game to a couple. It's right up one of their the alley of one of the potential players. Problem is, have not mastered two stick first person movement. Simply cannot do it. And it's like, well, hey, great news. The other can control it, and you can both use your brains to play the game
With your powers combined.
with your powers combined.
Okay,
Exactly.
I think now is probably the safe time to say, like, all right, pause here. Slam your brakes on the freeway, pull out the Steam Deck out of your backpack, and just hold up traffic to just like beat blueprints first. And now that you've done that, you can hit the unpause button. And now we have entered the pump room. We're pumping in the spoilers in
We're gonna
here,
pump
right?
up the jam. And well,
And
I'm here to offer
we've
the other
drained the fog of
perspective.
war out of the pool of secrets.
This whole idea that like, oh, you gotta go in totally fresh, totally unspoiled. I don't know if that's
It is
necessary.
necessary.
And
What are you talking about?
if we like
Well,
let slip the combination code to something, like you're probably not gonna commit it to memory immediately. I mean,
five
come
two
on.
four eight seven nine.
Probably
Anyway,
listen to
I feel
a
like
bit of
that
it.
is true for some of these and not true for others.
Like, well,
Like,
that's a great place to start. What do y'all think is like so pristine and important that
the
we're putting
letters
on a
puzzle.
pedestal that needs to be not spoiled?
The letters puzzle. It takes a little bit. Like, oh, that is like giving you multiple clues. So
I
like
don't
the
even.
picture letter puzzle, like that is just a once you've heard it, you know
Yeah,
what the
I don't think I
solution
got to
is.
this
I
puzzle.
think
So,
that the,
but
no, but no, I
specifically.
mean like oh, the car and card, what's the letter that's different between them? Oh, it's D. Cool. Now that you have heard that, you understand how the paintings work.
I
And
will say
that
this:
it took me a while to get that.
there are some people, Scott, who weren't aware that it like changes like the room will change every time because the room is in a different position, and it's the position on the map, the coordinate map, that
Oh.
matters for
It took
the
me a
picture.
while to get that.
It took me up until just now to get
And I suppose what we're
that.
being covetous of is that like, oh, we want the players to experience the triumph and the magic of what putting those clues together and then trying out the hypothesis and seeing it
Scott,
take effect.
if it makes you feel any better, I did get that, and I did get most of that puzzle enough that I'm pretty sure I understand what it's trying to say, and I still don't know what the fuck it's trying to say.
What did you get?
I've got almost all of them except for the top two. I've got all of them except for the top two lines.
My
And
non-spoiler
I can kind of there's only so many words that could be in the top one.
I mean, my non-spoiler attempt at that puzzle was like, okay, I'm gonna like write down each of the painting puzzles as I encounter them and just be like, okay, this one and this one gives me this letter. This one and this one gives me this letter. Okay, I'm up to, I think like I have all 44 of the letters, but like I just couldn't like I was putting out bananagrams letters in like a like on the floor and like rearranging them, trying to feel like what
Oh,
phrases I
get the little the grid.
Yeah, see, I never made the connection that it was like it was fixed to the room position. And I thought it had to do with like either like the rarity or rank of the room or something. And there's
There's a
just going
clue.
off the rails so quickly. We clearly should have had a pre-game where we could just spout random bits of information about this game and gushed over it.
I mean, I feel like we've already done our work for the podcast. The rest of it's just like us bullshitting about the puzzles.
All
I guess
right.
we already
Well, more
ranked it, so we're
context.
done.
So I
Yeah.
beat this game, but I'll level with you. I don't even know where this puzzle's located. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
The
And
paintings on the
when
walls.
I'm aware
So for the
of the
viewers,
paintings.
for the listeners, what we're talking about right now is in like in this this there's a when you enter the mansion every day as bl in Blueprints,
Everyone
actually
who's
gets. Everyone who's here has already
here
played it. Never mind.
has
You're
already played
actually
it, so
100% right.
we can just tell them what we know. They know
That's
that there are paintings on the walls.
right. And I'm aware that those change, and I'm aware, and I've read like notes and things, but like where are you inputting this information?
Into
Wait,
some sort of hastily scrabbled together journal that looks like a something that like the
the Zodiac Killer would
yeah, like the
have, or
Zodiac Killer would have put together.
you put it together in this square,
I
Andrew.
see. I see. I was
So
imagining that there was
each
a room,
room
a
position,
chamber.
no, each room position has a thing, and then it spells out a fucking cryptic
Spells
message that I
out
haven't been
something.
able
Yeah,
that's
do
supposed
we
to
think
give
this
you
is some kind of
it
a
gives
meta
you
puzzle?
information about how to open the
It
safes.
says, "Be sure to drink your
Oh.
Ovaltine," is what it says.
Oh,
Um,
and what it
and
says is
I
if we count small gates, eight datas, crack eight safes.
Oh, great.
Dates, eight
I
dates.
see. Well, that's something I wanted to talk about right out the gate. I was just gonna come in here and be like, what the hell is the safe combination? Because I haven't been able to figure it out. But apparently this holds the key to all of the safes. Is this that's what
No,
we're
I think there are
theorizing?
eight different combinations, but they're somehow on gates. I looked
Oh,
at some gates and
interesting.
I didn't see any numbers on them, so I don't know what.
Well, perhaps
But
it's the
yeah,
number
if you
of
count
gates.
them, they're not. Yeah, you're not. They're not. Yeah, that's actually a puzzle that I didn't like. I didn't. I got the whole message written out, and I was like, "Oh, great, here we go." And then I'm like, "What the fuck does this mean?"
What
I
are
tell you what, I
we
did not.
counting?
Exactly. I didn't know what the fuck it meant. I think I looked it up, and I don't know how much time I spent really like digging into it. But like after I beat the game, I'm like, "What
Damn
was
it,
this all
now I
about?"
don't. Now we're talking about this more. So I have not actually beaten it. I have not fucking gotten through room 46.
Well,
I've gotten such terrible RNG the
all right.
last
So, so,
like
so
five runs.
we're very eager. We're very excited to talk about all the nuances and depth to this game. I think we should start where the story begins. And again, we're like
Okay.
everyone who's listening now, like they already know all this. But for
Unless they're masochists and they'd have no intention of playing this game, so I guess we could
So
for those people.
yeah, they're just
Those
like, well,
fools.
I have to hear what the Grog Pod has to say this time because I have no intention of playing this game. But so you boot up Blueprints, and it's a very slow and dark and brooding intro cinematic
That's my favorite.
where your great, gosh, what like your great uncle, your great granduncle,
Who hails from the uncanny valley has passed away.
I
Yes.
think that's your mom's uncle, so
Oh, right.
so
Uncle
great
twice
grand uncle,
removed, great uncle,
your
right?
great
Uncle.
great
I think it's
uncle
actually uncle once
skeleton.
removed.
Yeah. But it starts with this voice recording of everyone's favorite, most exciting intro to a video game, legal documentation thrillers of going through people's wills. Hooray! And I, Herbert S. Sinclair of the Mount Holly Estate at Reddington, do see, I can't even get the legalese right, even though I
It's
wrote it down
okay.
here.
You don't have to read the will.
Well, it says here on page subsection 3, part G, that this big house that rich Uncle Moneybags has kept over the years is said to be bequeathed to his grandnephew, Billy Sinclair. It's in here somewhere. Timmy Sinclair.
Little boy
That's
blue.
it. Little boy blue. The above provision and bequest is contingent on my aforementioned grandnephew discovering the location of the 46th room in my 45 room estate. And
No.
your narrative thrust, and your adventure begins. And I think like this intro cinematic is well done. It's well directed. It's very clear that like, ooh,
Well, we've
there's like
learned
there
it's
was.
directed by a film director of some sort.
Yeah.
What?
And like this is maybe like, I don't know, one of like three cinematics that I encountered in my playthrough of the game that I'm like, oh man, like this starts off like really good.
Yeah,
Like
when the
very.
cinematics show up in this game, they kind of jump scare you. Because it's like, oh, what? There's something happening? Oh my gosh. Wow.
A wizard is telling me a fortune.
Something exciting is going on. I kid, of course. Yeah, conveniently, you don't have to read any of this legalese because it has been recorded onto a record. What? Was anyone wildly confused at first as to like what time period we were in?
Well, I
Because
was
it felt
confused
like
when
1993.
I was confused when Lionel Hutz jumped in and said that I'll bequeath $50,000. But yeah, I think like
At first, I
it's
thought we were in the 20s, and then it displays the date, and we're in the 90s.
yeah, 93. You'd think like this dweeby like 12-year-old boy would be at home playing like Super Metroid or something instead of like gallivanting around unsupervised in this giant abandoned mansion out in the countryside with nary an
Well,
adult to be found.
his mom is a international terrorist, so he doesn't have a normal childhood.
That's true. I
I'll point
mean,
out that like there
yeah.
in the game, the security room and in many other rooms, there are computers and floppy disks. So there is a pretty strong indicator of what
Sorry, to be clear, I
area.
was confused for the first 35 seconds of the game, but I thought it was weird initially. I was like, What? Okay, now no, and just like aesthetically, it felt like it was going for like an older time
A
period.
lot
But
of the
I guess
clothing.
that's maybe just sort of a, I don't know. They're
I mean,
drawing upon inspiration and architecture and influences from different times.
there's that, and
Whatever.
like the clothing style in this game makes it feel like very ambiguously like early 1900s, and you're just like, this could be like 1903 or like 1953,
And
and
what
I
is
have
the
no
main
idea where.
character wearing? I guess it's supposed to be kind of ambiguous and also, you know, take into account when the mansion was built. So yeah, anyway.
But yeah, it
So yeah,
starts.
cool setup. Exciting. Oh, mysterious room. I gotta find the mysterious room. All right.
Yeah, and so the camera pans in over this estate, and it very like smartly like draws you into the entrance hall, your room number one that you start in. And when you open up your little map, I think this is it's pretty clever that like, yes, this here is your goal. You start at the bottom. You got to get up to the top here, where it is just ambiguously labeled antechamber, with your goal of, well, I guess I got to get there in order to find the 46th room. And I thought almost immediately that like this was a red herring of like, okay, you're gonna get there and it's gonna be some kind of rug pull of like, ah, but room 46 doesn't actually exist. At room 46 were the friends we made along the way. And so the first thing that I did booting up this game was like, I'm not gonna fall for this. I'm not falling for this at all. I turned around immediately and left the mansion because I knew room
There you
46
go.
was going to be down the driveway. It was going to be down, like, hidden somewhere in the
Congratulations, you
campground.
won.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be
And
like,
that
yep, okay,
made
I got the 5 minute speed run.
Scott Berger the first speedrunner for this game. Well done. You pioneered the hopscotch down the driveway skip method. Well
Well,
played.
and then you find out like that. So there's Blueprints, which is the game where you investigate the house, and then of course Red Prints, which is the first person shooter, where you're fighting off the invaders that are trying to attack the home. It's a
Yeah,
tower, a mansion defense game.
the just righteous common folk have come to displace and take back what is rightfully should be theirs.
Yes.
This whole I got some like throughout the game there were some vibes of like ugh, like oligarchy. I don't like it. And everywhere I go, there's this horrible looming figure of the grand uncle. His weird
Yes,
vacant stare, his evil eyes
the
watching me.
capitalist, remember that. He's the he did not just inherit that money. He made it by being like Sodexo of this weird fascist country that redacts all of their history.
I
Little
mean,
redacted
we've all been
history.
there. I mean, yeah, very, very common origin story for many a Batman villain, as it were, which maybe, you know, possibly relevant for the end game here. But our gameplay, I was kind of shocked to find out this as well, super like 20 hours into the game. But like you start in the entrance hall, like there's some stuff to explore outside the house, maybe we'll get to in a minute. But your first few options are always the same here. And that like somehow I never made that connection of like the first three rooms that you're able to pick off of the entrance hall. Like always come from the same like small pool of things, like a bedroom that has like one exit and you get some steps, or a hallway that has two exits, or like a storeroom that gives you like one key, one diamond, and one coin, or a den that has two extra exits and gives you a gem, that kind of thing. It always like for some reason I never thought like, oh, of course there would be like an opening build order to this.
I'm curious, like, so
Build order?
how
What is
does
this?
how,
StarCraft?
I
What are you
mean,
talking about?
you get like you draw from a pool of cards. I'm curious how it builds that pool. Like, is it immediately built after the first three rooms, or?
Well, I believe, and I don't actually know it. I haven't actually looked up like how this works, but there are some key things that you realize, like the East Wing. You only experience that when you're on the east side of the mansion. And so like the pool,
Whoa!
yeah, so the pool of like cards available, you immediately realize, oh, it's selecting from a limited pool for every like stage. And so you start to wonder like, oh, well, maybe it's like based on my rank. Maybe it's obviously it's based on my left right position. And so you can kind of establish, and that is actually how it works, is like, or that's how what I'm imagining.
Right. And
I
in the
mean, it
case of
definitely does
Colin,
work. Well, so I mean, it works.
It's always
like
picking from a nasty, dank, stinky pool that has been foreclosed on and it's got a lot. Like, it's just the worst RNG, poor guy.
Yeah. Great Uncle Sinclair's eyes are following you around the estate, and they're getting a little bit more red every time that you get closer and closer to that antechamber. And he's like, you know what? I've got to put my finger on the RNG button here and just completely sabotage.
Completely sabotage. I forget where I got this information from. I think I might have been from a YouTube video. I believe that the pool with you know some like bespoke specific examples like the wings that only appear in certain parts of the house. The pool is very much based on the rarity of the rooms, and it is like the way that the drawing, the way the drafting mechanic is programmed, is designed, it's like impossible to draw like a super rare room initially, like in your first several drafts. And like as you rank up, that's when it, you know, allows you to access those rarer and more specific rooms.
Yeah, because I definitely did not find a ballroom on my like first row of room options. Or like there's things like Will was talking about, like, you know, there's some options that are like limited to either like the far west side of the mansion, the far east side. I think like, yeah, there has to be some kind of RNG number under the hood of like, okay, the garage cannot spawn more than like three ranks, or like below three ranks, or like the bottom three rows of the mansion blueprints. Get it? And
whoa,
you know,
whoa, what?
Oh man, he said the thing. And in my case, I thought 100% for sure that the permanent foundation room that you come across, for me was on, how would I describe this? It's like the second column, second row from the top. So like you have the antechamber, the top middle, and it's like one down, one to the left from that. And I thought for sure, I thought like, okay, like that, I've discovered a permanent location of this room. Oh, that's interesting. Oh. Like there's permanence to this. Yeah. And then my mind was blown seeing, I think it was Colin's stream, yeah, or maybe Will's stream.
Like 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, like completely different location. And I thought,
yeah,
what?
I also, mine is central. Mine is in the exact middle of the map. I assumed that was where everyone's was because it was the middle. Why would it ever not be in the middle?
Interesting. I'm also just learning this, that it's locked. I cannot believe your foundation is right next to the antechamber.
And at first I was mad because ridiculous. I thought for sure, like, okay, I know that like the rug pull here is that the antechamber is locked, surprise, and there's some gimmicky stuff that you have to do in order to get to it. But the foundation is the real secret here to this here mansion, in that you get to the antechamber, you get a key, you go to the foundation, that's where your end game is. And I thought for sure, like, well, shit, I've been boxed in. I got a really bad draw on my foundation because it's all the way at the top. How on earth am I going to be able to like get up there and get to the antechamber and do all this stuff? But in retrospect, having beaten the game maybe a little more than an hour before hitting the record button here. Yeah, like, wow, massive luck draw for that, at least in terms of how that system works. And it like, Colin, when you said that, like, you had gotten to the foundation, to the basement, and done all the endgame stuff, and then you ran out of steps there, when I was going through that puzzle sequence, that would have made me very angry. If I had gotten, like, that far only to just, like, not get the final win after all of that.
I'm at the point now, I have completed that room in the bottom 7 times.
Oh my god.
Because it's in the middle of my map, and so I don't know if I'm going to get to the top, and if I don't do it, I will for sure have to go back and do it if I win. So every time I get to the middle of the map, I have to make sure I can get into the foundation. I go down, I do it, and then I lose. And I've done it. It's between 5 and 7 times now.
I guess, like, procedural question about like where your location of the foundation is. So Colin, you've gotten, I guess we've all gotten to the antechamber. We've all picked up the key. We've all unlocked the basement of the ante or the
And what a
foundation.
lovely little animation. The plinth coming out of the ground and unfurling, giving you the basement key.
Yeah, like there's when this game does like its cinematic stuff, it's really good. I just wish there was more of it. Because I went like, 20 hours through this game and maybe saw like three of them. But Colin, like the foundation, you unlock the basement door. Does that stay open for you?
The basement?
Yeah, did you have to go to the antechamber in order to unlock the foundation every time?
No, it stays unlocked.
Okay, thank God.
But in the run,
Wait,
in the
hold on.
first,
What stays unlocked? Or say that again. The
the you don't have
basement.
to, you don't have to get the basement key each time.
Okay, thank
Really?
God.
That's what I did in my winning run.
So that's also almost what I did in my
Is
winning run,
ridiculous.
except I went all the way to the top. The run that I unlocked the basement, I was fucking bawling. I should have been able to beat that game. If I had realized I was gonna have to go back to that room, I would have won. I just wasted steps like poking around in all the corners. I ran around. I had the power sledge, so I busted open some walls. I ran around on the grounds. I went back inside.
Oh wow, yikes, you went on a
I
full tour.
had like 25 or 30 steps when I went down to the basement. And I
And
didn't.
you still ran out.
Yeah, I still ran up because I was
Oh, I'm
wasting
just so
time.
tired. I need to
I was
take a
like
little
going.
rest. I must sit down, my little blue rumpus. I must sit in my rumpus room and take a nap.
I saw the like tube tunnel that goes down to the like the second lever you pull, and I was like, well, that's definitely going to be the end of this run, so I'm gonna search around and make sure I didn't miss anything.
Right. Very
So
sensible.
I wasted like 10 or 15 steps before I went down there.
That's
And then I was like,
rough.
oh, fuck me. And I haven't been able to get back up. I haven't had a run that was that good since then.
What did you super? I'm curious. What did you find super sledging down in the basement?
You can sledge your way out of the basement so that like you I can just go down in the basement whenever I want. You can get there.
Oh, wow.
It's not useful.
Nice. I like
Really?
what you've done with the place. You've really opened it up by super sledging all the walls down. I hope
I'm
these
not
aren't any
sure.
load-bearing bat caves.
This might be an actual spoiler for both of you, but you can also sledge a wall in the secret garden that lets you open both the east and west gate
Nice.
from the secret garden.
Yeah, there's like a conspicuous wall that's like kind of cut out, and it's like there is a destructible wall here.
It's a
Like,
very Legend of Zelda looking put bomb here.
I had
So.
noticed it before, and I like. Had the secret garden, had unlocked the one door, got the thing that gave you the sledgehammer. I was like, oh, I guess I'll make a super sledge. That seems fun. I think I've seen some walls, and then I went back and I smashed the wall. It's
I
great.
never got the secret garden even. So I never got into that room even once.
Oh, interesting.
So, the secret garden? You've never gone in the secret garden?
No, I got the key, the secret garden key, like several times. I'm like, what the fuck is this for? And I
It's
kept like
super
toe checking
easy.
it because I thought it was like something important. But
Oh no. Secret garden, you can get the secret garden extremely easily. It's just if you're on the east or the west corridors or on the east or the west column, if you can encounter a locked door, you can make it into a secret garden.
oh, it's any locked door
Any
on the
locked
east or
door
west. I
on
thought
the
it had
east
to
or
be a
west.
green space for some
No,
reason, and it
well,
just so happens that when I got into it was in a green space.
crucially, any locked door in the east or west that's not the final rank of the mansion,
Where do you
because
learn this? What was the clue? Because I
from
learned it.
doing it multiple times.
Well, I think you could say that quite a bit about this game. Well, let's keep that hotkeyed. Where do you find out this? Where do you
I
learn
mean,
this? Where's the hint?
I'm sure that you guys are going to say something during the rest of this podcast, so I'm just going to be like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, you said you
Super
find
sledge. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
you find out what the right answer is by first getting the wrong answer, and then having your second brained companion or podcast co-host tell you, oh, actually that periodic table puzzle, the solution to that is not push the red past nine, it's push three past nine. And me floundering like a moron
Oh.
for a week and a half thinking, oh, I'll look for a red thing to push past a nine, and that will solve this problem.
Scott, you'll be angry about this. Do you know how long it took for me to solve that puzzle
I
once I got it
watched you on the
powered?
stream. It took you like 15 seconds.
This
Well, no.
son of a gun.
Once I actually finally got the lab powered, it took me longer to run back to that room than it did to solve the puzzle. And I was going from one room to the next room.
Well, to be fair, like you, I think you transcribed the answer of push three past or push
Yeah,
three
I had
after
already transcribed
nine.
the puzzle, so it was
Yeah.
okay.
But like I was playing it on the Steam Deck and I was taking notes down on like my phone on a Google Doc and just kind of like very bad posture, cat in your lap, just like, I don't know, maybe it's this. So I wasn't like really like trying that hard, but like I think like a big like my major problem with this game, and this game does a lot of really great stuff. It's very innovative. But my biggest problem with this game is no digital journal, no digital notebook, like keeping track of all of the stuff, all of the right
Right,
answers.
yeah.
Because
It's
I was sitting
you
there and
I mean I just have a folder full of screenshots, which is the external digital journal, but it's the same. Yeah, it's the same thing with like when you have to go to the wiki on any other kind of game to figure out what you're doing.
it's that, but there's also something you don't get with that is like you thinking you had the right answer when you had a totally bogus wrong answer for
Oh,
God knows
yeah.
how many days, leading you on like some like and this is like a very like type three fun like level here where it's like, people listening to this will be like, ah, that's a fun story. And like you are rightfully enjoying my pain that I was suffering at the time, because I wrote down like all of the wrong like letter clues for the painting puzzle. And I asked Claude for help on this, and Claude said that the answer to that was searching heights for the light castle, LIGHT, with missing letters of something that was like northeast. I'm like, oh, this is a perfect, like, there's another permanent room in the northeast of the mansion. I gotta get there, and there's gonna be like some castle or something to go
I mean,
to.
that's what you get for
Yeah.
asking AI to solve the puzzle game.
Yeah. So I
Excuse
deserve.
me, AI, could you just have my fun for me too?
Yeah, let's review the conditions of this will. I don't believe you're allowed to utilize any items from outside.
The will didn't say anything about not using a large language model to
Are
help
you
solve the problem.
able to access the large language model on
There
the
was no.
Fallout-esque Vault
They were all over the
13
place in
computers?
1993, as we all
I
remember.
mean, you know, it's a very small language model. It can fit on a floppy disk.
Yeah,
Oh
like
yeah, I
the
suppose that's true. Let's back up a little bit.
To just kind of like clear up my
Oh,
point, I
what's
think
that? Yes,
the thing that
please.
I wanted,
Of
and
course,
then
of course.
I will gracefully open up the random door
The
to the Andrew
ballroom.
room, is that I think the solution here that I wanted was one of my favorite puzzle games of all time, The Outer Wilds, not to be confused with
Oh.
the most mid
Bad.
Bethesda shooter, that's very similar sounding. The Outer Wilds has this incredible like journaling system that like you come across a thing and like the game like auto notes it down for you of like, oh, on like I encountered this thing, and it links the puzzles together in this incredibly intuitive and smart way to like focus your attention and give you like things to hunt down. Like you're only limited to like 5 or 10 minutes, or I forget what it is, for like a run in that game. It's not quite a rogue game, but we can talk about like clockwork puzzle games later. But like it focuses your attention and like clusters the ideas together in this brilliant manner that it doesn't exist in this game. And like your puzzle solving is like we were sharing the Discord, like your madman ramblings in your notebook that are entertaining for a different reason, but didn't help me in my enjoyment of the game after like the halfway point. And it just became like I was like boxing myself into the corner with like the dartboard puzzle. I thought like I had a certain solution to it. I was totally off. I looked up the solution. I'm like, wow, that's completely different than how I thought it worked. And I was like floundering for days on just like, well, this is what I think the solution is, with nothing to guide me other than like maybe asking someone or cheating and looking at the wiki. And
Scott,
if
have you gotten to the dartboard puzzle where it starts doing like squares?
No.
Okay, so this happened to me today when I was playing between when I got home from work and when we started podcasting. I did have to look up the thing because I was trying to go quickly so I could beat the game before the podcast. Eventually, it just has a square in the middle of the dartboard over the
Pretty
bullseye,
ingenious, subtle
and
messaging. What could this
It's like
mean?
once I figured it out, I was like, ah, clever. It's you have to square the number. But I just stared at it for like 5 minutes and I was like, I don't
So
for
I thought
real?
like I
With
for
the
real like
dartboard
dartboard.
over
All right.
here, the
So
dartboard puzzle.
my final point with the journaling thing is that like maybe this game doesn't necessarily need it, but if there was like a room or like a meta progression thing that I could unlock in order to help me out as like a dum dum here, my knuckle dragging lowbrow attempts at like attempting to solve this game, like if there was like that Outer Wild style journal thing that I could unlock as a meta progression system that is optional, I would, yeah, 100% hit that button, do what I can to get it. Because, yeah, I do think a big portion of this is like your self rambling journals that like you share to your friends and they just look all insane and stuff. Like there's a lot of value and fun and entertainment to that. But for me, like the Outer Wilds just kind of set that standard that. Like there's other really great puzzle games out there, like Return of the Obra Dinn, many others that I have in my Google Doc as I'm frantically scrolling them.
Botany Manor?
The Forbidden
I
City,
missed.
Majora's Mask, maybe to some extent, The
Riven?
Witness, Talos Principle, What Remains of Edith Finch. These are all like top, like S plus tier puzzle games that like,
Antechamber.
yeah, Anti-Chamber.
Anti-chamber. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, this podcast, we try to keep it pretty apolitical, but we are definitely anti-chamber, to be clear.
Down with chamber, up
So
with
yeah, I think that if you
Iberville?
ask the devs or the director, because this game has a director,
Oh.
which the answer to this would be, oh, we
Get
really
good.
wanted to get we wanted to encourage the player to keep a physical manual as an ode to gaming of old, when before we lived in this digital age, and to pay tribute to those old-timey video game experiences. And then they would pull you aside later at the party and be, actually, we really did not have the development time to spare to put together an entire complicated Outer Wilds
That's fair. That's
note
fair.
system. I hear you. One would hope that, like, at the very least, there would be, you open up, you hit the R button to look at the rooms, and for each room, you have a little space to take some notes or something.
Or just they have a built-in screenshot taker.
Well,
Like, I'm going to take screenshots of this shit because I'm not going to write down, like, there's the music page puzzle.
yeah.
I'm not 100% sure, like, I'm sure that the bold words are important, but I don't know what other words on the page are important. I'm not going to write down 8 pages of lyrics just in case I need to remember some of them. I'm going to just take screenshots.
But if you
And
look at
that
every
means,
third letter of every fifth word, it
right, exactly.
spells
Like,
out.
I don't know. I don't know which parts of this are going to be important. And I'll be damned if I have to, like, go find the ballroom again to find some
Yeah.
pages because I didn't write down the other pages in the other rooms. So, like, I'm taking screenshots of a bunch of stuff regardless. You shouldn't have to, like, alt tab out of the game to look at your screenshots folder. There should be a way to do that in the game. And I don't, I mean, I feel it's always weird saying, like, it should be so easy, because I know things are always more difficult than it sounds. But screenshots are pretty easy to do in a video game. Like, even if it's a little clunky, like, you could have like a button that you pull up and it's like, here's my scrapbook with all these like pictures I took on my disposable camera. Maybe you only get a certain number of screenshots per run. You could fit it into the 90s theme.
Oh,
You only
yeah,
get
sure,
five
it's like a Polaroid.
you get 5 screenshots per run.
That would
Sure,
be neat.
great. That would be fun. And then it would discourage people from just be like, I'm gonna take a picture of literally everything, only
Yeah,
of
but
things that
I don't know if that really helps me with like me trying to remember. Like, I think that there's this game has like an interesting lore and story behind it, but holy shit, there's a lot of text to go through. And like you're like reading through like a young adult novel's worth of like text here to
you don't
like.
want to learn about the history of Artesia.
I mean, I've played enough Ace Combat games to know where like South Ossetia is and everything, and then just like, oh, so this is like they're just like this is the ground level of all these made up Eastern European countries, and like,
Cracovia.
And there's it's like this is like a fake realm that doesn't exist, and there's all of like these rich white aristocrats who all kind of look the same and all kind of like have similar sounding names and stuff. I'm like, okay, this is fine, but like there needs to be something, like, I don't know, like it was really hard for me to keep track of like who is the author lady, like what's her relationship to me, like why do I care, like I'm just trying to figure out this
Your
goddamn
mom.
dartboard puzzle for
It's your
like 2 days.
mom. I don't even have time.
Everyone
Playoffs.
knows
Yeah, I don't know.
it's your mom. Author Marion Marigold, who is Mary Matthew Jones, your mother, who is also Jean Ribbon, the Artesian national, when you find her false passport.
Obviously.
Also, she's the one who stole the gems from the rival kingdom and
All
then was
right.
maybe drowned for being a political dissident. I
Unless
don't
you
think that's the
open the
last one's.
safe.
I
Unless
don't
you
think that
open the
last one's
safe
true,
and
but it does. I did think that maybe she drowned for a
oh,
while.
is that what's in
Well,
the safety deposit box?
there's
yeah, there's a
yeah,
fake passport for your
there's more clues on that
mom.
front awaiting you, as
Very
it
nice, very
were.
nice. Real quick, I do want to mention the downfall. The one negative thing about being able to just indiscriminately take screenshots in the Steam version and easily access them is that if you're like me, you're not necessarily in the mood for reading, and you just take a screenshot and say, "I'll look at it later," and then you never look at it later.
That was me. See,
The story, I
yeah.
did not unravel much of the storyline, much of the backstory. I
Versus.
wasn't especially interested in it, which it sounds like I missed out on
Versus me,
stuff.
I in
Because it
Morrowind,
does sound
back at.
interesting.
I collected all the books and I read all of them.
Oh, yeah. Is there
Nerd!
a
Wow.
lusty Oregonian maid in one of the safety deposit boxes in this game?
I was, yeah, you know, I'm disappointed. There wasn't like a BDSM kink room that you could unlock. Like, where's the sex swing room?
Just like the murder dungeon room, the H.H. Holmes murder mansion room that you open up, and there's just rusty meat hooks everywhere.
I
And
was, you did, yeah, you did have a theory, Scott, that the twist is you get to the antechamber, and it turns out that you're at the World's Fair in the past, and it's H.H. Holmes' murder mansion.
Or like you open up the room using the West Wing Hall secret key, and you just open up into the back rooms, and there's all sorts of like weird laboratory monsters running. Like this game, I
Now you're
thought,
into game part two, like
yeah, like
Inscription.
I had maybe like a minor spoiler at some point where someone was like, internet comment of like, oh, when you think it's the end of the game, it's not the end of the game at all, and there's like you're only just starting the game. Like, okay, so clearly like. This is just the Resident Evil Mansion Act 1 part of it. And then Act 2 is when you get down into like the nuclear missile silo and all of like the body horror stuff starts coming out. Great, sign me up. I'm all on
The
board.
first person shooter. The
Yeah.
Red Prince.
The Red Prince. Yeah,
Andrew, did you read the Red Prince book?
sure.
Okay,
I
good.
did. Otherwise, yeah, I'd have absolutely no idea what was going on. That one I
Okay.
did read. I'm like, well, this one
I
has
kept
pictures. I suppose I could read this one.
I kept referencing it in Discord, and I was like, I really hope that they've all read this and they don't think I'm just like riffing off some weird color thing.
But of course, that wasn't. Yeah, you're like worried that we think that you think that you're some master of wordplay. Like, oh,
Yeah,
they'll never
like,
think of
well,
this.
I'm
Red is the
referencing a
opposite of
thing in the
blue.
game, though, right? Everyone realizes
Oh
this.
yeah. Not to
Yeah,
worry. We got it. We got
I
it. We
mean,
had we never doubted you for a moment.
the red, and yeah, I think there's like this game is certainly like chock full of stuff in it between like the children's books that you come across, or like little notes about how presumably your player character has interacted with, I guess, your brother, question mark.
Oh, yeah.
Over the years in like the bunk or like the bunk or like the yeah the 2-bedroom bunk room thing, like stories about how you've grown up in this house, and
Man, how pissed must your brother be?
I mean, I don't know,
Like,
because I think I
hey.
looked at that thing once. I'm like, I'll take a screenshot of this and read it later.
I mean, that's the only reference I've found so far. But it's like, hey, you know what? My asshole little kid brother who kept writing in my diary also inherited the cool house, and I presumably got nothing.
Well,
That's because the younger brother.
he also inherited the heating bill for this house, and having to pay the servants, and
Well, they've
upkeep
all been
having,
let go.
yeah.
Is out of control for this
Here's your
place.
insurance payments. Good luck with the mortgage,
Now that I've
Lindsay.
learned that the great uncle is this fascist dictator, which I was totally joking about, like, yeah, let's overthrow him. Apparently that's actually part of the storyline, which, hey, that's cool and neat that there's more to it and that it's pretty interesting, and that's why that historical book is like mega redacted. I was just joking about that, but perhaps the brother to the main character like is a dissident. Maybe he became a freedom fighter of some sort, and that'll get you right out of the will real quick. Ask me how I know.
Communism.
So
He's the real Red Prince. He's a Soviet
emphasis on
prince.
the red, very well
It's
read, as it were.
ooh,
yeah.
oh my goodness. So yeah, I want to just back up, slow down, go. Initially, when we first started this game, and you're interacting with like the core mechanics, the deck building slash tile placement mechanics. Initially, my thought was, this is similar to how what we were discussing last week, where Buckshot Roulette feels like a board game that has been improved, having been turned transformed into a video game. Board game to a video game, and by becoming a video game, it has become this elevated piece of media. But I was having sort of the opposite take initially with Blueprints. I felt like, oh, this would be so much better as a board game. Why do I have to sit through this incredibly slow sprinting speed? Why do I have to repeat the same content over and over again? And slowly over the course of the game, I kind of soften on that position, but I'm still not 100% convinced that this wouldn't be just a better board game or digital board game experience.
I think what's missing out on the tabletop experience is the fact that, like, with our accumulated knowledge that we have now, if we see someone like playing the game the first time, they're walking past all of the chess puzzles, they're walking past all of the painting puzzles. They look at a safe, they're like, "Huh, there's a safe there." Anyway, moving on, and you're just like tugging your hair out. You're like, "No, you have to stop and like read that library book. It's crucial to understanding the end cinematic of the game." And they're just like, la-di-da. Oh, hey, there's a coin over here. Look at this. That's nice. And you're just like, oh, but look under the bed there. There's like a really crucial thing. Like, look where the finger's pointing. Like, there's all of like these clues just like point, like overwhelming you right in the face that you're just completely oblivious to,
The
that wouldn't
environmental exploration that you
yeah,
couldn't have in
like
a board game.
that you don't get unless, you're in some sort of like tabletop RPG setting and the DM is like, "You happen to notice this thing." Anyway, moving on. Or give me a
You
perception roll for blah blah.
Scott, you're the only one who maybe have you played any of like the newish like puzzle board games where there are truly puzzles? Have you played Box One?
Box one, no.
Box One or Box Two? I heard Box Two isn't as good, but Box One by Neil Patrick Harris is actually quite good. It is as close as you're going to get to it. You don't get the like roguelike elements of it, but it is a weird, complicated, intricate puzzle box game.
What on earth is this?
Yeah, exactly. It's it's what Andrew is thinking of. Except it's not roguelike. It's much more linear.
It kind of looks like one of those what is it? There was that like murder mystery movie where like they all get like delivered the thing at the start and they have to like, "Oh, I have to solve this intricate puzzle thing," and you can like get all the clues done, solve it, or you can just like whack it with a hammer.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. I played a I can't remember what the name of the game was, but I played it over the Memorial Day weekend where it was like some you got a box. And it had a bunch of like physical objects in it with clues, and then eventually it directed you to like a website, and we were playing it like half on my phone, and then there was a bag in it that you had to like unlock with a key that was in there and like a padlock. So like there are board games that do stuff like this, but they are very linear. It's hard to get this kind of like branching thing because you have to provide answers. So I think that's what differentiates board game versus video game is that the way that they can deliver answers to you in a video game is just so much more seamless. Like you don't have to be like, okay, look in the back of the manual and see if you solved it, and here's what the answer is. Which if you got it wrong, you're like, well, I can't try and solve the puzzle again because I've now seen the correct answer.
Sure. Yeah, that's
Or they have
certainly
to do it in a padlock, which is just less fun.
is a great point, and this speaks to the greater point that this game is pretty original and like pretty innovative. And I can't say I've played things that are, you know, similar to certain factors of this game, certain aspects of this game. But seeing things like a hidden object game mixed with a tile laying game, mixed with a deck building game, mixed with a missed puzzle type game
Resource
altogether.
management. It's got
Right.
a lot of stuff going for it.
And like fine tuning all of that and like, you know, finding the balance and working out the drafting like algorithm like must have been very difficult. And though it's perhaps not perfect, it's very good and very impressive.
I'm curious because Will beat this game in 3 days at a blistering pace, which I'm
I
astounded
feel like
by.
the real question is how many hours,
20
though?
hours.
Okay.
So I've still got 5 hours until I'm less impressive than Will.
Oh, really? You're gonna beat me?
I
Well, I mean, now
mean,
you have the spoiler, so I
I
mean,
mean,
he's
I should have already beaten it by now.
yeah.
I only today missed my first of the parlor room puzzles, and that was because I was trying to go fast.
Wait, yeah, what do you in the library you can see what your standings are. Do you know what your standings are?
Oh,
You've only
God.
missed one of the logic puzzles.
Yeah, I'm on day 18 or 19, and I missed the first one today.
Yeah, I missed, I think,
I
five.
was
You have
pretty
like 32
upset
out of
because
37.
I still am like looking at like I don't know how I got this one wrong. Like it seemed like it was 50-50 chance.
Well,
I probably have a less than 30% success rate.
I'm glad that we're taking time to go through the puzzles sort of one by one. Yo, the parlor room puzzle, what a deceptively
Easy.
frustrating, like, how dare
Delightful.
you? I took one of a few moments that I specifically noted, moments of pure excitement, the type of excitement that I usually experience like in every room of every minute of every FPS game I'm ever playing. But I was truly excited when I had the opportunity to upgrade the Nook. I'm like, great. Now I can stop sweating this darn puzzle. Now
You
I
mean the
have
parlor?
now I, pardon me, what did I say? The parlor game rather. I can upgrade the parlor. Oh, I also upgraded the Nook. That was also pretty exciting to have two keys. But the last upgrade that I unlocked was the parlor and the parlor game, and the upgrade that I chose was two keys, two spinny things. So I get two
Whoa.
guesses, and I'm like, at last, one of the most unpleasant parts of this game, every run, is me having to slow down and be like, all right, look, really take your time. Because if you don't take your time and you figure this out, these two gems could be what makes or breaks this run. And like, that was very annoying. And initially, it was like, okay, just, you know, read through them, critical thinking, boom, get through it. But then once they start throwing in the double negatives, it's like, oh
Yeah.
man, now I got to get out a piece of paper. Like I can't quite hold all this information in my brain at one time.
I will say I'm pretty good at them. I can usually get them. But it is a huge change in pace. You're like, all right, time to really think here and do some like weird logic puzzles.
That's a great point. Yeah, you're like ripping through the tile laying, and then uh-oh, hold on.
Yeah.
Don't go too quick.
I mean, like once, I mean, it's on average, it's less than one per run because you're not going to get it every single time. And so I found for me, it was like a little bit too much because you're right, it does slow down the pace of the game substantially. But I really enjoyed those for the most part, except for when I was inebriated and I played the game. Because when you're like high or drunk and trying to play this game, it's like very difficult to like solve those. But it was very rewarding when you
Well, this
open
is
that box
strange.
and you
The
see those
white
gems.
box. Yeah, the white box just says, don't you think you've had enough, buddy? I'll tell you. Yeah, when you open those gems, you're absolutely right, Will. That felt nice. That was a good reveal. But when you didn't see the gems, oh man, that was fucking brutal. Like the worst. No.
Yeah.
I've been outwitted by this accursed parlor trick. When really the solution would always be in real life, pick up the box and give it a shake.
There's a lot of times that, like, the solution here is just like, just hop the fence and run around to the back of the mansion and just break a window, obviously.
That is a pitfall that has plagued game design forever. It's less of a design problem, it's more of like an aesthetic and graphical problem, but it is even no matter how immersed I am in a game, there's always a little bit, a little part of my brain that's like, well, you know, in real life, you could just hop over this picket fence to get into the
I mean,
orchard.
there are a couple
You could
places that.
climb over that that mine cart in order to access the
Oh my
lever
God,
to
the
get
mine
to
cart.
the whatever. And it's like, when, if possible, I think game designers should avoid that type of level
Just
design.
make the fence higher.
Barbed wire. I mean, like,
Exactly. Put
I get
some nasty ass spikes like at the top.
I get what they're going for of like, oh, Simon wants to beat this in the clear conscience way, in the way
In the way a 12-year-old would?
that great uncle, yeah, like all 12-year-olds well known for their calm, rational takes on puzzle solving and not getting frustrated and downloading Nexus mods to set their keys and footsteps to 9,999. Yeah, I think
Was the true puzzle, trying to install mods for this game. I was trying to install the speed mod just so you can increase the
so
just
you can
overall
bunny
run
hop down the
speed of the
hallways.
game. And I could not get the mods to work, and I gave up very quickly. But I say, yay, there's something that we should discuss. The ways to make this game even better. The bunny hopping you joke about. Legitimately, if there was some kind of, I don't know what it is exactly, but some sort of interesting, engaging movement system. If there was
Grappling
some
hook.
button combination you could do, like even just like if you tap the sprint in a certain way and you like move a little bit faster, that something to just engage the reptilian part of your brain while you're wandering around the house, which you're doing a lot of.
Titanfall 2 wall running.
Yeah,
When
it's
you
just
have to
the more
go out
casual.
to the outer house thing, like just the run back and forth on that path is like,
That's
this
pretty
is just,
rough.
you know what
Goodbye.
they need? Fast travel.
They need the thing that was the prize of all tweens in the mid-90s, the Razor Scooter, and being able to turn
Ah,
your hat
that's true.
backwards. Razor
Actually, the Razor
Scooter.
Scooter was not invented till like 2001.
Well, you know, this
Was
game
it?
plays a little
Yeah.
loosey-goosey with
Okay,
timelines.
well, in this East, whatever the Eastern European
Rollerblades.
oligarchy
Roller
knockoff.
skates. Just regular old skates, the four wheels, like two by two.
And again, you know, I'm not necessarily saying I do appreciate that when you go outside to the grounds, your movement speed is increased a little bit, but it's like
Not quite enough.
0.25 or so, 0.125 times.
I
But
am.
yeah, again, not that's something, you know, super bizarro and wild like bunny hopping necessarily, but yeah, something to make the movement, which is like 70% of this game, more interesting would be really great.
I feel like we have to defer to our burgeoning game dev Will here, as someone who is undergoing the game dev process at the moment of like what clearly no game is perfect. And I have a lot, I think, in
Well, Slay
terms
the
of
Spire.
suggestions.
Let's not, let's, I mean, come
Oh
on.
yeah. There's your free space on the bingo card. We have to get that. But I'm curious, Will, from your perspective, like being so engrossed in the deck building process and science, as it were, at the moment, like what is it that like leaps out to you about this game of like, they should have done it this way instead?
That's a hard question. I mean, yeah, I'm giving it a high rating, as we'll discuss here, I'm sure, shortly. But the downfall, I think, for me as a person, like as Andrew pointed out, like I'm in the same camp. I hate reading fucking tons of text, and some of the clues and so, like a lot of the story was embedded in these documents that are like, hey, 5 to 12 page, pages, which are, a few paragraphs each. But I don't want to sit there for like 5 minutes reading a document, and not just reading it, but studying it and having to learn, are there clues in here that I have to like really pay attention to? And that for me was just a huge turn off. Like whenever there was like a, oh, here's a document, I'm like, oh God, screenshot, next page, screenshot, next page, screen. I was like, I'm not interested in reading a bunch of text. I want more action. I want more decisions. I don't want more inflow of information. I want a puzzle. I want a challenge. I don't want reading. So that's me being, I guess, not a very studious person here. But that to me was one of the biggest downfalls of the game. The other is just like the fact that because sort of the narrative structure around a child exploring a mansion like by themselves with like to me like I can't connect with the main character. I am not the main character, and because that's
He
the
was
case,
never a
I just.
child. He never just ran around in the woods.
Well, no, it's just because
Never.
like I'm 37. I'm a 37-year-old man. Oh my
You've
God. So I was like, you know, this it's more difficult.
killed
It's
the
like
child
it's
version
like
of
reading Harry
yourself.
Potter. You know, if right now I was gonna pick up Harry Potter and read it, I'd be like, I don't give a shit about these fucking little kids. You know, it's much harder to connect with them, given the differences.
Hard to connect with the character. Yes, but what about when you unfortunately drew a red card and got the weight room? I'm sure that was relatable to you. No? Okay.
Yeah, but it drained him of 50 steps instead of making him strong and
Yeah,
powerful.
that
If the
kills your
weight room
cardio.
had
That's the
been like
brain
a
juice.
gold standard room, where it's like
Gold.
become the best version of yourself, go 50% faster,
That would have
bust
definitely
through
improved this
walls with
game.
the power of your own body.
The Kool-Aid room.
Yeah, I do want to say to the point of things having, you know, the gameplay screeching to a halt, so you have to like read a children's book. One something that I appreciate about this particular puzzle game, and something that I've had problems, something that I've had issue with puzzle games in the past, is that a huge amount of this stuff is optional.
Yeah.
And Will and I made it through this game well enough without reading all the lore. I was worried at some point, like I was just, you know, like putting off and deferring this big, huge amount of reading and studying I was gonna have to do later. But luckily, that didn't happen. And the fact that you don't have to solve every single puzzle and you're not gonna get hard locked behind like one specific clue that you missed in a library book is really great. And I tip my hat to the designers.
Yeah, I think that's a good that's a really good point about this game, is that the volume of puzzles makes up for the fact that it's all puzzles in some ways. Like the worst thing about a puzzle in a puzzle game is not being able to solve it and then being not even soft lock, like hard lock, like I just cannot get by without solving this puzzle. And then you go to the wiki. And then you start looking at the wiki, and then the game's done because you've just looked up all the answers. Like, I think that's the downfall of many puzzle games. In this game, it is a risk of if you get too frustrated, you just start looking up the answers, and it's hard
What's
to
the
just
safe
look
code?
up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to just look up one answer. Like, well, I'm already on the wiki for the boudoir. I guess I should click on. Oh, there's an. Just it's
Yeah.
literally one click away from finding out the other secret too.
And that's why I think this game is optimally played with like two or three other people for your video game podcast, ideally, that can like help to provide that input of like, you know, maybe someone who has already beaten the game to just kind of like nudge you just a little bit of like, did you check out this thing? You're like, no, I didn't even think to look at there. And then like giving you just that little bit of hint to go on. Or like Outer Wilds has suggested, if you live out in the middle of Nowheresville, Nebraska, and the next person is like 15 miles away from you, maybe having that kind of system integrated into the game of like, I don't know, a rumor system or,
A
you
small
know,
language model.
yeah, a small language model that like you would think that like your campsite would have like all these accumulated clues and stuff of like, oh, this relates to this and this relates to this, helping to kind of like focus your attention and guide you along the way. But yeah, I get that like the conceit here is that like it's a puzzle game, you're supposed to puzzle it out potentially with friends, but if you don't have those friends, then the internet becomes your friend. And as we all know, the internet is a bad place to go to for friends. I think my biggest head scratcher for this game is the RNG, and
Yeah.
that like I know when people like obviously people complaining on the internet, oh, video game bad because blah, and you know, opinions and assholes, etc. And I'm willing to join into that right now. So I think the randomness in games like this is fine. But you have to be given the tools to mitigate it. If you are just like randomly drawing stuff and you're just like, well, like I know what the strategy is. I know how to employ the strategy, and the game just like fucks you repeatedly with bad draws, you're just like, Well, what could I have done in that scenario? And
No.
well, all right. So I'll wrap up
That
my
is your
point.
point, but no, you're wrong.
I'll wrap up. So I think things that this game might benefit from are having like an explicit discard pile so that like, oh, like I have taken this out of the deck and it's in the discard now. Now I know, like it's a deck builder. It should like behave like a deck instead of just like, and like
Yeah,
when you
send
come
that
when you
furnace to the graveyard. Let's get it out of here.
Yeah, like there's no deck milling. You can't rotate rooms in this game, which
Yes, you
kills me.
can.
Other than the
Yes,
rotunda?
you can.
You can't.
Yes.
So when you draw a room, you
There
have the
is
option
an
of
item,
saying,
right?
"Oh,
Yes.
this library, I can make it go from this orientation to this orientation."
Yes.
20 hours in, this has not been made apparent to me, and I think maybe actually goes a point against it. Where's that
Wait, wait,
rankings Google
wait, wait,
sheet?
wait. You can do that as an upgrade later in the game, or you can
Yes.
do it. Okay.
So
Okay.
that's what
I
I'm
was
gonna.
just saying,
That's.
if there's something that I've missed up to this point, I am going to degrade this game by like a full point.
No, I mean it's like you get it later. Like that's the
Yeah,
thing. It's
yeah,
like
yeah,
this
yeah.
meta
Okay. I know.
progression.
That is significantly better than what I feared, which was there's some mechanic that I have missed.
Yeah, the meta
How
progression
deep.
solves all your complaints, Scott.
I
I
don't
mean
think it solves it hard enough. That's the problem. I think I'm too dumb for this game, is the issue. Is that like what I want is like when you uncover like an ivory dice, for example, to re-roll your room selection, that should, I think in my opinion, I think that should build up like an initial starting pool. Like every time you get a new ivory dice, your next run, you start with like plus one extra ivory dice. And it's like a meta progression to like soften the blow of like all your bullshit like bad draws. And yeah, I
Just
know
the meta
that
progression's a little too slow.
it's too slow. Like the puzzles in order to unlock the stuff, like I unlocked the car thing to get to the west grounds. I unlocked the apple orchard and the gemstone mines, and I thought like, okay, these are like good puzzles that
The
like
apple
to get.
orchard.
Spoilers for later. Anyway, yeah,
What?
that would have solved your
What
step
did you
count
just say to
problem.
me, you son of a bitch?
Yeah,
Apple orchard?
the step
Yeah.
problem gets solved by that.
Anyway,
What the fuck is the apple orchard?
Wait, did you not run around the grounds?
There
I
is
did.
a white picket fence, back kind of behind your tent, so you can potentially miss it. And
Did
there's
I just
little.
not run around far enough?
Yeah, you didn't. Like, we are the three of us here. We've all, yeah, we've
Well,
all.
there we go. There's the thing. I was waiting for the one where I'm just like, oh, I guess I'm just an idiot. I've gone back to the tent. I found if you guys dug up
Yes.
the thing between the two rocks,
And the bridge.
the bridge.
Well, I don't know
Yeah,
these
you need
ones,
that
but
for the other big thing inside the cave, but you know.
something that I thought was interesting about the apple orchard is that if you wanted to brute force it, it wouldn't even take that long. Like it's
That was it was wasn't it 9,999
no,
combination?
no, I think it well, I think it's nine. Well,
I
I
think it's
mean, it would take
four
a
digits.
while,
Yeah, no,
but
that's a
it's all
long
right. Hold
time.
on,
Hold on. I have a story about brute forcing.
But compared to like being in the middle of that set, I guess is what I'm saying. It's like 1-1 something something. I forget what the code is.
So when we were playing this puzzle board game last weekend over Memorial Day, there was a padlock. It was a three-number padlock, and we knew that the first number was seven. And while Joe and Alexander were trying to solve
Well,
the
it's
puzzle,
nothing.
I brute forced the 99 combinations until it was like 53 or something. And
Nice.
I just like, guys, it's done. I did it. I did it. I just brute forced 50 numbers
Bam.
and we found it.
But
My
then you would
man.
have, but by doing that, Colin, you lost out on the deep, intricate story hints from the dark room that maybe that's your second brain puzzle hint of dark room to apple orchard hint hint.
I've looked at everything in the apple orchard. I mean, the dark room.
Did you
Did you
though?
though?
Did you
Yeah.
did how
Magnifying glass?
close? How close? Wink, wink. Did you look? Hint, hint. Magnifying glass. Did you use for anyway? I think like.
I mean, apparently I've looked at everything pretty closely, but not with the magnifying glass, so.
Well, there you go. I think that yeah, like so, like my major point. I think the RNG in this game is bad. I think that like you need to be given more options to counteract bad draws. And I know that there's a good level of like gaming like the card pool to like tilt the RNG in your favor, but even that doesn't guarantee that you'll overcome it. And the only way that I could overcome it was getting like, going through, what was it, like 16 dice rolls or something on my winning run, through just like skilling my way that way. And even then it still didn't feel guaranteed. And like by the time that I got to the what did I call it? The Costco warehouse Sokoban puzzle underneath the mansion, like that, if I didn't have like 9,999 steps still, I would have been like, wow, I would be really mad if I ran out of steps here, having gotten this far.
Well, you only have to solve that puzzle once, so.
Yeah.
Wait, is it? I didn't. It didn't even occur to me. Does that specific puzzle take up actually keep track of your movement? And
No.
like, is it possible to run out in that room?
In the basement room? No, it
Yeah.
doesn't take a
Oh,
step.
whew,
But
okay. Thank transitioning
goodness.
from that basement room
Anyway, yeah.
to the stuff beyond the basement does take up steps. And
Beyond the basement.
if
Right,
you're
right,
like
right, right.
me and you're like coming across the mine cart and you're just like, Jesus Christ, another fucking puzzle. Like, so close to the end of this. Are you kidding me?
I
Like,
hadn't done that. I had to go back. I had done the tomb before, and I hadn't like repositioned the thing in the right way. So I had to run outside, go into the tomb, run down it,
right.
move the thing, run back.
Yeah,
Great fun.
when I got to the very end of it, I got to the gear that gear chamber thing, and I thought, okay, now I'm gonna have to go through different branches and like unlock. I thought there was gonna be like three or four sequences, but then it turned out there was just one sequence of, oh, I need to go into the tomb and move the minecart. So I was a little,
And
this
then
whole
once you
like, oh,
solve,
that's only when the game really begins. It's like,
and
I
once you
don't think
solve
that. I don't
that,
agree with
you
that.
never have to interact with it again.
Which is swell. I can't believe that you the basement remains unlocked. That is ridiculous. How would you know that?
You would test it because you
Why would
have
you
no
test it
ability,
though?
because you
There's
have
nothing else
no.
in the game that like indicates, I don't know. I guess unlocking
Well,
the
when you
orchard,
because you have
but
no other thing to do except for, like, well, I guess I'll lose this run. Like, can I go down in the basement? Is it on? Oh, I went to see if the door was open, and
I
then
see, I
it
see.
wasn't. And I was like, well, like, is it unlocked?
I
Yeah.
suppose.
Oh, okay.
I feel like this would be easy to miss, and I feel like there should be a little message like, we'll prop this open. Let's leave it
Yeah,
open.
hold
There's
on.
also
This
some
is an
more.
unrelated to any of these things.
Oh, yeah.
They should have a little Zelda sound when you unlock something good. Every time I did something good, I was like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and it didn't do that for me. I had to sing it out loud to myself, and it made me a little bit sad.
I
They even have the
agree.
little they have the little chests there with keys in them. You open up, you get the key. Ba-na-na-na. You got the grappling Yeah.
hook, and now you can transfer through the rooms twice
Just
as
a
far.
look. It doesn't have to be an actual Zelda motif. It could be any motif.
Sure.
No, it has to be Zelda, I'm pretty
I
sure.
think this game, this is another place where the game could be improved significantly. The it needs to like take notes from something like Balatro, where like the output, the stimulus of like rewarding your brain for like doing something is not really there. There aren't really fun sound effects, especially the scoring screen is super boring. Like if the scoring screen was more action packed and like if it was more impactful, like I'd
You want
feel
like
more
Party Poppers?
productive
Scott,
going
is this a
off.
solo dev?
No, this
This
is a
is like
game
a small
studio.
studio.
Yeah, it's a small studio.
I don't know. I was
Yeah.
reading some stuff that said that it was a solo dev for a period of time.
Yeah, I got that vibe of like very small team. I feel like they could add some more music. They could add basically Minecraft style music where it's just kind of like subtle melancholy music. I think that would actually make it quite a bit better. Because like they add it is impactful that they add like some music stuff when you do big things, and it's like, wow, this is very different because there's not really music for the rest of the game.
There's
But it
some.
does make me sad that there's not like good music for the rest of the game.
I think I'll push back on the music front because I think Andrew also said in the Discord that the music in this game was like mega mid or whatever the phrase
I think I
was.
called it a nothing burger.
And I was like, is that true? I remember like this game being and like I fired up The Witness because I felt like The Witness was also similarly extremely quiet. But I think like Blueprints actually has like a pretty decent soundtrack to it when like you stop and just kind of like listen for a second. Because you go into the tombs and there's like this like
It
I guess
only
that
has music when you go into interesting spots, though.
That's
If you're
true.
going into the parlor, it's basically silent.
You want parlor music like
No, I want basic Minecraft music where it's like dun dun
Actually, I
dun
prefer the parlor to be completely quiet because I need every ounce of my brain
dun. Okay,
power to make sure
parlor.
I don't lose those damn gems.
All right, fine. The kitchen.
Right. In the main part of the house,
I
it's
want
pretty
the kitchen to have like
boring.
old-time radio, like Nirvana.
Old time 90s radio.
Yeah,
Yep, exactly.
what was the Eastern European 90s Nirvana of the
Well,
time?
that's excuse you. This is not Europe. This is Cracovia or hold on,
Yeah, there's.
Artesia.
Which
I
critically
think this game
has a
takes
very
place.
important trade deal with Valverde. It should be noted that is a piece of lore that I do know about.
That's the place where Arnold goes to get his daughter back, right?
Correct.
Okay. Little commando ref there. Yeah, I think this game takes place on an alien planet, technically, because when you go into the observatory, like the continents are all like weird, and it's
Oh
like
yeah, that is true.
so technically this is probably in the far future. It's probably like
Yo.
3093, I
Yo,
think.
it was a Twilight Zone episode all along.
And that
I mean, it's
like
definitely in like a different Earth, altered Earth.
well, this is well. We've established that this is post-portal gun technology, as established by all the different rooms and the portals adjoining them. So that would make perfect sense. So really, this was the Portal 3 all along that we never knew that we had this whole time. What else do I have in here for discussion topics? Oh, how do we feel about the price of this game being $30?
Price is irrelevant.
It's a double A game. Oh, maybe it's A and a half. I don't know. It's a double A game, so that's I think it's fairly appropriate.
We well
A lot of content for your money.
frequent writer inner to the podcast, Davian
Oh,
Fuchsia, has
Davian, come
dropped
on.
us a message here. So
Hell yeah.
I'll read some of his letter he sent in, and I think this was in relation to our previous episode about the free-to-play game 45 that we all love and remember. And Colin saying like, you know,
Yo, what? We covered 45 the episode before the game with the Rogue 46. Holy moly.
we should have done that one for our 45th episode. But yeah, Davian writes in again, thank you again, to say basically in response to Colin's comment in there about how 45, you know, free to play game, but it's less about like the price and more about like the like how much time are we willing to invest in a game? And so Davian writes into us to say, have to wonder a bit about not factoring in game pricing on scoring. Doesn't happen often, but sometimes you get those games that are wildly overpriced, and you really have to second guess a recommendation. He kind of goes on about like a bunch of traditional roguelikes. I'll skip over some of this, but yeah, I think mostly what Davian's trying to drive at here is like, you know, there are games that are priced like $20, $40. You know, traditional roguelike games, very like intricate and like or very niche for this already niche genre. Things like Approaching Infinity, Cardinal Quest 2, other like vaporware type games that people are still charging for. I felt like $30 for this game felt justified, and I did not feel that case for the $40 Darkest Dungeon 2 when we played it, because
Absolutely.
that launched in an absolute mess of a state.
I
But
think I'm probably in the same boat as I am with like graphical quality, where low graphical quality doesn't really do much in a way of like hurting it for me, versus low price doesn't help that much for me, because I'm still like the cost is both your time and your money. So if it's a bad game and it costs very little, it still costs you your time. If it's a bad game and it costs a lot of money, then it's doubly bad cost. So, like, and you know, like the difference between $0 and $10 is pretty. I mean, this maybe feels a little privileged, but it's like that's not that much money to me, so I don't care that much. I buy a $3 soda every day because the vending machines are expensive. But like if it were $60, that starts being like, okay, this is real money. I would have to spend time to earn that money.
Yeah, and I think that like there's AAA games that now I think are starting to march in the direction of $80 as a base price point. I think
Right,
it will
yeah.
be unsurprising that Grand Theft Auto 6 will be $80, and like maybe that's a good thing for like these like more indie games here on the end of the spectrum of like, well, like maybe Blueprint's like $30 all of a sudden in the shadow of the $80 norm isn't so bad. Or like
I
I
think
think
it's the time per dollar. Like
Yeah.
if I'm spending less than $1 per hour on a game, then like that's pretty darn good. So if it's 0 cents per hour or 15 cents per hour, it's like these are the same number. If
Yeah.
I'm paying $80 and I'm spending 10 hours playing this game, it's like $8 an hour. Like that starts being like maybe not the best use of my money.
Your value prop.
Yeah. Versus I'm at 15 hours for Blueprints, so that's $2 per hour. It's not nothing, but I think it's worth it for like the game that we've played.
I will say that if I had to pay money for this game, there's no way I would have played it. Just based on my temperament, gamer temperament, that would not have happened.
But now that
And
you have played it, would
oh
you
no.
purchase it for your prior self?
Certainly, yeah. If I had to go on to some kind of Terminator time travel mission, certainly I would. I think it's worth the money.
What if there was a demo preview? Or a lot of games these days are doing like free prologues where it's like, oh, like this game is coming out, we're gonna charge money for it, but the first chapter of this game is free. It's a
Yeah,
it's not quite a demo, but
sure. I'm happy that demos are coming back, or demo-like offerings, free samples are coming back. That's very cool. Yeah, it's $30. Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
nah, fifteen to twenty.
Also, 15 to 20.
15 to
Oh.
20 is the right those. That's the right number. What's how much does Slay the Spire cost? I think it's well, right now it's on
I think
discount
it's
because Slay the
free.
Spire 2 is coming out hopefully on Friday. I'm really crossing my fingers, but the point is that game's like $20 at the most. And so, if that game is $20, every other game should be less than $20.
I guess, well, yeah, I mean,
Well, there you
it's
have it, folks.
the definitive market analysis. All of your budgeting has been solved for you. Thanks for listening in on the Grog Pod, as always.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, I guess maybe like another bullet point I have on here. How do we feel about the ending to this game? Or do
Oh,
we want to
no.
spoil the ending for Colin here, or are we?
I actually
I
don't. You know what? I said that we're fine with all spoilers, but I don't want you to spoil it now that we've gone through
That's fine.
like
We
an hour and 45
that's
minutes of
yeah.
talking about
Good.
this game. I
We've
do
spoiled
want to
everything
actually
else
go.
about the game,
Yeah.
but yeah, I do want to talk about the maybe not like having to do with like the end game per se, but the Rumpus Room. I think I want to talk about
Sure, yeah.
where you get to the coin operated fortune teller, and this was a major moment for me of like, yes, I'm locked in. Give me more of this.
I
You.
did like so Scott was watching my stream the first time I saw we've been streaming this game occasionally to each other. He was watching my stream the first time I got to this room. He's like, "You should get that one." I was like, "Oh, I don't need money." He's like, "Yeah, you should go to this one though anyway."
And you know you go up to this mechanical Turk fellow, you drop a coin in, and it like jump scares you into a cutscene. You're like, oh my God, there's production value in here. What is this
Whoa!
doing?
That's where that
And
$10 went.
yeah, exactly.
$30. Well, however much this cost. And
Yeah,
it's a
into
very
the
nice.
motion cap for the mechanical fortune teller.
And you are treated with this very nice like well rendered, well voice acted, haunting performance of this robot who says, I foresee all sorts of weird things in your future. I foresee a black cat with a red flag, and all these other like very symbological things going on. I'm like, and I'm sitting there frantically
Symbology.
taking
The
notes.
symbology. Did you mean
Wait,
symbology?
do we ever actually see a black cat with a red flag?
I don't think so.
So he's really just making things up.
I think he's just a liar. Yeah.
Hmm.
And you're just, and
Classic.
they're entertaining lies. And in the end, isn't that the real truth? The answer is no. Because I think like I'm sitting there frantically taking down notes like black cat, red flag, like fully
Yep.
expecting to like, all right, I'm gonna like open up a door. There's gonna be like a black cat sitting there. I'll like turn away and turn back and the black cat will be gone, or like some other like weird jump scares. 20 hours, beat the game, never saw anything having to do with that. And then I thought, all right, well, is this just like another like complete red herring of like see, and like that's part of my frustration is like I don't know which of these puzzles are relevant to like completing the game. 'Cause I feel like that's the main my main focus is like I want to complete the game and like there's all these interesting things to solve along the way. What like how do I know when to divert to go and like am I supposed to hunt around the entire estate now for a red flag? Is that like crucial to like solving the riddle of the mansion so I can get to the crypts and get to the undersea castle that's being protected by
The cat
ghosts?
prince, the blue prince is meets the cat prince who holds the red flag.
It was there all along. It was right in front of our face this whole time.
Yes.
Robot's dream, that kind of thing. Yeah. Well,
Do we want to head into more authoritative, detailed, definitive final thoughts here before we start wrapping?
I would say so.
I think it's time for the official rank.
All right,
Numerical.
we'll pop in that rankings key and turn the lever to open up the rankings room.
Punch in our 8-digit ranking code and open it up to find the de definitive ranking slot.
Yeah, I'll go first in shocking fashion this time. I liked this game. I think this game was super unique. I thought Blueprints did a lot of neat things. Maybe not perfectly, but maybe like the first to try to do them. This kind of style of like of randomized rooms joining together to like solve some kind of quote unquote dungeon purpose is something that I've wanted from like a Legend of Grimrock game for a long time. And I feel like no one's really figured out how to do it until now. And now I'm super excited to
For
like,
all the copycats.
yeah, for all of the Blueprints lights or likes out there that will inevitably pop up. And I'm all for it because I think like this is a super, super neat and innovative way to approach this kind of puzzle design, but lots of like Resident Evil style, like mind games of the puzzles going on, lots of creative things. And like, yeah, when you see someone who's never played the game before, you're like, oh, you gotta go and do this thing in order to see this. And you're holding back a lot. I think that's a lot of fun. The bad things I think are do stick out. I don't think they can be ignored. I think the RNG is bad. I think the tools that you are given to mitigate the RNG are also bad and slow to uncover. I get that there's ways to get around that, but for me, maybe I'm just too dumb, and that I'd want more of it. Just give me a shorter on-ramp. I feel like it shouldn't take me 15 hours to unlock the full meta progression. And even that like didn't really seem like it made that big of a difference. And this game needs a journal function, like number one criticism, like if you do not have a second brain to bounce ideas off of, you will be rabbit holed into bad answers for days on end, like me. Again, because I'm stupid. But if this game just had like an automated like this thing is connected to this thing and you should care because it connects to this thing over here. Ooh, good. Now I have like a visual thing to kind of follow. That for me would be like a full extra point on my rankings, and I'm gonna give it a 7.7. Just behind Hand of Fate, or I guess tied Hand of Fate 2, just behind Rift Wizard and just ahead of like Dot Age and The Last Spell. I think like these are all like solid games, maybe just kind of like held back a little bit by like one little nitpicky thing, but like this would be like a solid like 8.5 for me if it had that automated journal function to it. And maybe I'm being a bit picky, but yeah, overall I think this game is great. I think if you've gotten this far, then like, yeah, you know that this game is fun and great. And yeah, be that second brain to someone first playing it for the first time. Be that kind of like gentle hint giver and like nudge pusher to be like, maybe you shouldn't really focus on this just yet. Go and try this other thing first. And then I think that person will like that'll be a great way to spread the fun and interest of this game for new players.
I guess I'll chime in here. Yeah, I think I give this game an 8.5, which for Will, you know, that's a highly rated game right there. This game's great. I absolutely loved it, and to the extent, and this is how I know I loved it. I was not planning on taking a day off of work to play it, but I beat this game in 3 days as a result of being like, oh, let's okay, here's the Grog Pod game. All right, let's just here we go. Let's get into it. And then suddenly I'm like, oh no, it's the end of the day. Oh no, it's tomorrow. And oh, I'll just play a little bit in the morning. And suddenly it's, at the end of the day. And I'm like, well, that's how it goes, isn't it? If you lose all track of time and you're just wrapped up in a game, that's a great game right there. And an 8.5 is a great game. I mean, it's not a RimWorld, it's not a Slay the Spire, it's not an Inscription, it's not a Luck Be a Landlord, but it's a great, great game, and I love that it's just innovated this whole new way of approaching deck builders and of this whole like first person perspective, like run through a mansion with this like this with this set of like, a grid style and all these puzzles. Oh my God, I love this game, and you should play it.
Wow. High praise, high praise. I do declare. Well, as we all know, I joined this podcast late, and well, my co-hosts, let's just say, they are three boxes in a parlor, and they are just out to betwixt and perplex and bamboozle me, because the ranking system changed and my ranks are all janky and screwed up, so don't get too hung up on my numbers. That being said, I've given this game a pretty high score, even though my scale is all messed up. Blueprints comes in at my new number 10,
To be
because.
clear, Andrew has now played like two-thirds of the games that we've played, so
Yeah, it was
not that
really
late. You can't lean on that so much
really a
these days.
doomed battle, doomed endeavor
I'll be
all the way
sure to
from the
change up the
beginning.
ranking algorithm again next week. Don't worry.
And I've awarded this game 7.9 points, right behind Balatro, right ahead of Remnant from the Ashes. And what else can we say about this? What else can I say about it? First of all, the level design sucks. The level designer needs to be fired. Oh wait. Oh no, I was the level designer all along. What a shame. Okay, so check it out. 70-ish% of this game is just wandering around. And something needs to be done to make that more engaging and more exciting. Some type of a novel, fun, just a little stim. Movement stim of some kind that you can do would have improved this game quite a bit, in my opinion. The scoring screen, I think, would have really been could have been ratcheted up and made more exciting to give you the sense that you're making progress. Because there was a big part of this game, there was a decent stretch where I got to the antechamber was locked, which I was surprised by, and then I felt very rudderless. I'm like, well, what do I do now? And I was encouraged to, like, well, explore, find more rooms and things like that. And if the game was like more encouraging of that, if the game was more rewarding in the visual and audio like feedback that it gives you, I think that would have helped that issue. Fortunately, I wasn't dealing with that for too terribly long. The music, I think, is they kind of some combination of like phoning it in and like trying to play it safe. Like, let's not make anything like too hyper specific or potentially offensive to the ears. So let's just make it like super boring. Like, somehow in my opinion, spoilers for the ending, the music at the credits screen, I think, is like the best piece of music because it actually has some melody and is going somewhere and has something to offer. That being said, the music wasn't like offensive, and there are like certain sections of it which do convey a tone that I think are pretty good. I think this game could have been brought to that level of greatness with more dynamic room stuff going on. Like, when you get to the antechamber and oh, the pedestal comes out and it unfolds and this key is there. Like, that's very cool. Like, more dynamic room shit going on, I think would have helped. Potentially like random events that happen that aren't necessarily like mechanically important, but just like something to kind of keep you on your toes and be like, oh, there could be some new fresh material waiting around, behind this door. Or some kind of storytelling through voiceover, like in rooms, would have been really appreciated. And then my last bullet point for like how this game could have been better for me would be if this was a horror game, I think it'd be like infinitely better. Like if there was that tension of like of oh no, I could something horrible could happen or I'm being stalked around the spooky mansion, that would be great. But I get it. That's, you know, from the ground up, that wasn't the idea for this game. To wrap up, I have had a pretty bad relationship with puzzle games and adventure games. And I've played a handful of them, but generally I've come away from them feeling pretty frustrated. And this game has taken the puzzle game formula and solved the main problem, which we discussed earlier. Colin brought up earlier. The worst part of the puzzle is not being able to solve the puzzle, which is sort of ironic. And the fact that this is run-based and that not all the puzzles are 100% required, and that you have time to think about, and you know you don't have to address every puzzle as soon as you reach it, is a real triumph. And the fact that this game leverages roguelike mechanics so cleverly, so interesting, I think this is a real triumph of roguelike game design. So again, my new number 10, 7.9 points.
All right, I'll bring up the caboose for this. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10. I thought the gunplay was terrible. The enemy variety was just non-existent. No, I'm just kidding. I'm giving it an 8. I think I summarized it in my early score. I think this is a game that most, if not everyone, should try. I think it's a really innovative game. I think it's very interesting to think about, to talk about. It's very like I enjoyed talking about it with the podcast co-host, and I'm looking forward to talking about it with other people who have played it now. I think there were I've had some frustration in the last day or two playing it just because I feel so close to beating it, and I got weird or bad RNG, or maybe I just haven't uncovered the apple orchard, and that maybe I've been trying to push to finish it too early rather than unlock the meta progression stuff. But like overall, it's still a very good game. Still, it's got a lot of like stuff that I'm excited to see what comes from this. Like these feel like ideas that other people are going to draw on as well. So I'm excited to see what games come after this, using this as some inspiration. Like the puzzle building, room building aspect feels like it feels like a board game in some ways. It feels like some other kind of like solitaire type games, but I'm excited for it. And the game itself is really good. It's quite pretty. It's got a lot of good puzzles. I like reading stuff in games, so that didn't bother me at all. I thought that like some of the stuff was quite well done. Music wasn't anything to write home about, but overall, a very solid game. People should play it.
All right, I think time to do a very quick similar games segment. Again, a very Christ, what do I put in for the similar games segment?
Just puzzle games,
yeah.
not roguelike games at all.
There's because this game is so unique, this is another classic case of like, I don't know, I guess I'll put this one in here. So there's a lot of question marks around some of these. The top one I think is Inscription, just because of like the puzzle game nature aspect to it, and a lot of like unexpected twists and turns. A couple games in here that I think are actually kind of similar in different ways. There's a game called Lost for Swords, like the pun Lost for Words, but Lost for Swords. That like you are drafting cards and you are using those to like build out the layout for a dungeon that you're running around, which does feel very blueprints coded. Similarly, there's a game that recently came out called Drop Duchy, which is more of kind of, I guess, like a
Oh,
Tetris
yeah.
format.
I
But you
played the
know,
demo for that.
yeah, and Colin, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, you know, you're like dropping rooms in down from the top and then doing stuff with them in a
Yeah, it's
sense.
like Tetris-ish.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that game to come out into like a real release. It
Yeah.
looks like it'll be cool too.
Related, Colin, to your Neil Patrick Harris like weird board game puzzle thing, there's a game called The Devil's Calculator, which is It feels like that would fit right at home as like a blueprints puzzle here, where it's like it's just like a calculator UI, and like you're just entering numbers in on it, but it's like has like this re like weirdly deep puzzle system to it, which is kind of strange, but like scarily curious. There's a platformer puzzler called Mosalina that I think is very relevant here, in that like it says up front, like, hey, a lot of these things like aren't solvable, and that's okay because it's just procedural, like random mayhem. But it's another great game to play on the couch with like a second person, where you're like, the conceit there is like you have like some random like puzzle of like platformers that you have to get from point A to point B, and you're shooting mushrooms and bouncing off of things and deleting objects, and it's all sorts of bizarre, wacky fun. It feels very blueprinty in the sense of like, yeah, like it's you're not gonna win it every time, but the fun is not in winning it. The fun is just like seeing all the whack weird stuff that happens. There's another couple ones on here that I have question marks on. Maybe I think Curse of the Golden Idol. I don't know if that's really roguey per se, but certainly fits the kind of puzzle nature. And then I think The Dead Seat. Why do I have that on here? There's probably a good reason for it. Give it a look. The Dead Seat. Why not? And then like real quick, some non-rogue puzzle games that are very blueprinty. Outer Wilds, I talked about a lot. Return of the
Great game.
Oberdin, 100%. The Forgotten City, you should probably check out if you're fans of either of those. You may have heard of this Majora's Mask game. I don't know, maybe, who knows? And then one that has I think some pretty decent buzz that I think came out fairly recently, called I'm guessing you pronounce this Taiji, Taiji, feels like another very kind of like missed sort of like esoteric, weird, cool puzzle game with lots of deep interacting systems to it. So give those a look. Pause, go back, listen in on all those names that I rattled off super fast. And as we super fastly wind down here, because I know Colin is itching to fire up those Nexus mods and get back into blueprints and finally see that ending,
I thought you were gonna make another joke about him being late for dinner. He's hungry.
No,
Our
I
boy's
already.
hungry for victory.
No, I already. I ate before the pod because I've wised up.
You had
No.
your rank 8 turkey dinner already.
There's a slice of pizza.
Yeah. If you want to see all of my wacky blueprints related shitposting, grogpod at gamedev.place is the Mastodon, where I have all sorts of pictures of Agent K from Blade Runner screaming at the wrongly chosen puzzle box, which was my experience just about every time, among other fun things in there too. So feel free to give that a look. Grogpodzone@gmail.com. Write in if you want to be like Davian, our super cool writer inner, even though I truncated most of the email.
Hey, Davian, thanks again for writing in. Appreciate it. I'll tell you this. If I was in a mysterious mansion and I found a note on a table and it was from you, I would absolutely read it. I would not just screenshot it and forget about it forever. So thanks for writing in.
And then finally, grogpod.zone is where we have all the stuff, all their previous episodes, more show notes, things, rankings I've been putting together. I guess there's like on the GitHub that I host the page on, there's like a wiki function that I've been using to do some fun stuff with, dev interviews, all sorts of fun things on there. So go and give that a look, grogpod.zone. And that's gonna, yeah, I guess I should have said this before. That'll wrap up our new number 11 out of 73 ranked blueprints. So high praise. Doesn't happen often that we get an almost top tenner here. As almost top 10 as you could get. But as we wrap up our new number 11 blueprints, we have a new game on the horizon, assuming that Slay the Spire doesn't come out on Friday, which, you know, we may have to take another look at the schedule there. But tentatively at the moment, we've done a lot of book reading. And for this game, Andrew, what do you have queued up for us on our next episode here?
Yeah, well, speaking of writing in, you can't do much writing without a pen and paper and the necessary supplies. We're going to be covering the cooperative third-person shooter, maybe? Vellum.
Yeah, I
I
think
think it's
this.
like Risk of Rain 2, maybe?
It
I
looks
don't
like it.
know a ton about it, honestly, but it comes highly recommended. So I'm sure it's sure to be a good time, and hopefully we'll get some cooperative time in. But if not, hopefully the game stands on its own as a single-player experience as well. I'm sure it will. I'm confident.
It's finally time for the libraries to fight back. So we're giving the chance for the books to come off the shelves and you know throw themselves at you and whatever else we expect out of Vellum, Vellum, for our next episode. But that's gonna do it for Blueprints and playing us out here. Tomb tunes to play it safe. Or maybe 8 safes? Question mark?
Oh.